Support comes from Catholic Charities. Driven by the message of love your neighbor, Catholic Charities is focused on improving lives in Maryland. Give the gift of love during this holiday season and learn more at cc-md.org/love.
She lost both of her parents quite a few years ago. Her son never actually met his grandfather.
I work in a theater, and it was a theater a lot like this, and I was the carpenter there.
I feel the sensation of the covers being pulled back, and this cold, cold sliding into bed next to me.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Stoop Storytelling Series podcast. I'm Laura Wexler.
And I'm Jessica Henkin.
This week on the podcast, Spirits Among Us. Ooh. Three spooky stories in honor of the season.
What season is that?
Halloween, yeah. Or as I like to call it, skeleton season.
Is that
I feel like there's a lot of skeletons around right now. Like when I'm walking our dog, it's
peak skeleton.
There are a lot of dog skeletons.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of 12-foot skeletons.
Yeah. I'm not a fan.
Oh, I'm okay with it. It's what we're all made of.
Yeah, but like I'm fine with like a T-Rex skeleton in your yard because that's like a fossil.
Mm-hmm.
But
when I was driving around Baltimore County recently, I came upon a row home that had, and I'm not exaggerating, like 12-foot skeletons in front of it. It was like an army of it. It was like a jury of
skeletons.
Too many for the row home, but that's not, you know, it's really not for me to judge.
What do you think?
Totally
what's
judged.
The collective noun for skeletons?
Skeleti. All right. So our first story.
A bones of skeletons. A rattle of skeletons.
Oh, this is pretty good. First story is from Debbie Rosa, who told this story. I mean, I want to say 12 years ago easily at a show that we had for the Columbia Festival for the Arts. Please listen to Debbie's spooky story coming up next.
Actually, I want to tell a story. It happened about 2 or 3 weeks ago. I went up to Massachusetts to my best friend's son's high school graduation. And my best friend, who I've known for about 25 years, very close with her. I visit her quite often. And she lost both of her parents quite a few years ago. Her son, who of course is 18 now, never actually met his grandfather. He died a few years before he was born, her son Aaron. And my friend used to tell me when Aaron was little, about 2 or 3 years old, she would walk into a room and he would be talking to someone or acted like he was talking to someone, and she'd say, "What are you doing? Who are you talking to?" And he'd say, "I'm talking to Grandpa." And that used to spook her out, and I kind of like these kind of stories. So I always believe that there's a spirit and that children sometimes, at least according to Teresa on Long Island Medium, children can talk to spirits and see spirits, and I believe that. So this happened several times when he was little. So let's fast forward to a couple weeks ago for his graduation. My friend decided that she wanted to give her son her father's watch for graduation. And, of course, the watch had been sitting in her jewelry box for 20, 25 years. It hadn't worked in about 20 years. And I was with her, and we went to a jeweler the day before graduation, a very fancy jeweler, a big, huge building up in Nashua, New Hampshire. And we were there for about an hour, and we watched the watch guy. He took it apart. First, he put a battery in it. Of course, it didn't work. He took it apart, and after an hour, explained to her that the watch wasn't going to work. It was too old. It needed a complete overhaul, and it would cost her about $200. And she didn't want to pay $200, so she said, "Let me ask my son if he wants me to fix it or not." So she went home that night, and she said, "You know, I have a watch that's Grandpa's. I'd like to give it to you. Do you want me to spend the money to have the watch fixed?" And he didn't really care. But the next morning before graduation, he said, "Mom, you know, give me the watch. I'll wear the watch for graduation." So we went to the graduation, very hot day, about 90 degrees out in the sun. But after graduation, we went over to the lawn and were taking photographs. And her son walked up to her and said, "The watch is working." And she immediately burst into tears, and of course, then I started crying. And we are convinced that her father was there at graduation. So that's my story.
I love this story. Short, sweet, and the sweet kind of spirit.
Yeah,
haunting.
I really, I like a good grandfatherly haunting their grandchild, but in a good way.
Yeah, like story. Not in a, like in a way that you find out grandpa was in the Klan.
Oh, yeah. No, this seems like just like a good benevolent grandpa.
Yeah, yeah, who can move time.
Okay, this next story. I want to just first, so this was an audience storyteller from the, I think it was the same show. This is the gentleman who was doing the tech for our show that night.
Love
he
it.
He threw his name into the hat. He came up and told the story. First, you will note his voice is amazing. He's got one of the best Baltimore accents I've ever heard.
Yes.
And the story is pretty out there, but just stay with it. Just stay with it. Take a listen to Dale's yarn about being a theater tech.
I work in a theater, and it was a theater a lot like this, and I was the carpenter there. And the carpenter's job, it's a cool job, because I didn't have to climb up ladders and work on all the lights up there. I was terrified of ladders. They had this old rickety A-frame ladder that sits like this and then goes straight up. And you climb it up, and you're supposed to saddle it like a horse. I'd get like this, and I'd start shaking, and I couldn't do it. I just could not do it, and I was fine with that. And then one day, they said, well, you're going to take over as the TD, because our TD, she's going to Edinburgh for the summer, so you get that job. And I was like, I can't climb that ladder, and I didn't know what to do. I was terrified, and I sat down in the back of the theater, and I fell asleep, and it seemed like a good thing. I was exhausted, and I fell asleep, and as soon as I was asleep, I was floating in space, and it was like it was a ballroom. It had been a ballroom back in the 1800s, and I'm floating in the space. There's this beautiful girl wearing a white dress standing down in front of this acoustical dome, and I go to her, and I'm floating in front of her, and it's like we're conversing. And it's really, I'm not saying anything, but I feel like I'm being downloaded, like a computer's being hacking into my brain, right? And there she is, and we start to dance, and the dancing got really convulsive, like it was sex. And then I got pulled away from her. I got pulled away from her, and all of a sudden it looked like somebody shot her. She got like shot, like, and she started to sink to the floor, and I started to spin, and I knew I had to get back into the chair. And when I was back in the chair, I opened my eyes. I was wide awake. I was out of breath, and from that moment on, I didn't have any fear of ladders. I believe this girl was a ghost, and she saw what was wrong in my head, and she fixed it. Thank you.
The fact that he was doing the lights for the show
yeah.
is all dependent on this spiritual experience he had.
Correct.
Right? Because otherwise he wouldn't have been able to get on the ladder
nope.
to do the lights.
The and I sexy
when I was
spiritual.
I heard you ring the bell when yes. he was about to start talking about some like intergalactic sexual experience. And I was really sad about that because I wanted to hear.
Yeah, the bell is what we use to kind of keep things moving along at an appropriate clip, as it were. And it was I just wasn't sure where it was going. It was an audience storyteller and I was like, wow, this could go real
so
south,
many ways.
And I was trying to protect the audience, but yeah. I didn't need to in the end.
It was great. He got what he needed out of that encounter. He didn't need a sexual encounter. He needed
sexual adjacent.
He needed sexual adjacent and to get over a fear. Okay, before we get on to our final story for Spirits Among Us, we're going to take a quick break.
this final story, I think it's all the same show. Columbia Festival for the Arts came in strong for our spooky stories that year. I think it was 2011. This is Barbara Warner Lubbock, and this story is about a trip that she took to New Orleans that ended up being pretty spooky. Take a listen.
My story begins in the fall of 2010. My brother Brian, sister-in-law Lisa, my husband Bruce, we're thinking about we need to get away a little bit. It's going to be winter, and we live in Baltimore, so they want to go someplace warm. I'm thinking, get me out of Baltimore. So away we go. Think about where do we want to go. Brother writes me an email, says, so I have a little consulting gig that's coming up with a museum. Lisa's going to go. You guys want to go? I'm going to NOLA. I said, NOLA. NOLA. Well, my brother and I, very left-brain people, love a good puzzler, but I'm thinking, NOLA. It took me a while, but no doubt many of you who are here tonight know that NOLA is New Orleans, Louisiana. So we start making our plans, sends me another email another week, says, I think we can score this great luxury apartment that the museum owns. It's right in the French Quarter. It's going to be great. Another week goes by, a little disappointment. No, apartment's not going to be available. Not to worry, been there before. We'll get a hotel room in the French Quarter. I said, great, I'm going to New Orleans. What do I need to know? We're going to have a great time. So, again, another week goes by. He calls me very quickly. Hey, I'm in the airport in between flights. Need you to set up your rooms. I've already made reservations for Lisa and I. Call today, though, because I don't think that they've got much available. Said, don't remember. It's the Hotel Provincial. I do not have the web address for you, but Google it. Don't worry, but call today. Oh, I think they only have double rooms available. So I'm thinking, wow, this nice little romantic getaway with my husband. But what you have to know is my husband and I, as of last month, have been married for 30 years. Love him dearly. He's a wonderful guy. Double, we're okay. See, she knows what I'm talking about. So away we go. We get to New Orleans. We're checking into the hotel. And the clerk says to us, you guys mind being in Building 500? We said, well, what's up with Building 500? Oh, we just wanted to be sure, check in with you. I said, okay, you know, we're good. Yeah, we're here for an adventure. We're fine. So we go, we check in. That night, we go out for dinner. We're getting ready. We go out, we see all these people standing out in front of our hotel, and they've got these little lanterns, and they're just walking along their little lanterns, and they're pointing to our hotel and talking in these hushed voices, and clearly there's a leader here. That, what's going on? So I said, my brother, Brian, I want to go over and see what's going on here. He said, Barbara, you can't just join a tour like that. He said, it's intellectual property. He works, he's a museum consultant. What can I tell you? He's big on intellectual property. So we go, we have dinner, we come back that night. I'm all snuggled in my jammies and, you know, in our little double beds because it's a double bed. I mean, I have a king at home, okay? So we get all snuggled in. I'm all curled up. I always sleep on my side. And fine, lights are off. Middle of the night, as I'm all curled up, I feel the sensation of the covers being pulled back and this cold sliding into bed next to me. And I'm thinking, Bruce, really, really? We have cooking reservations for the cooking school early in the morning. It's been late, Bruce. See, I know some of you are middle-aged like me. So I turn over, and I thought, damn, Bruce is not here. He's still over in his other bed. So I throw off the covers, turn on the lights. The rest of the night, I am like this. All night long, with the lights on, my poor husband is like, what? So next morning, we go down to breakfast, see my brother, see my sister-in-law. She said, I have the weirdest story to tell you. He said, during the night, 3 o'clock in the morning, the clock radio's going off. All of a sudden, it's blaring out and it's flashing. 9 o'clock, 9 o'clock, 9 o'clock. They turn it off and think, you know, oh, gee. 3:30, again, the clock radio goes off and it's flashing again. 9 o'clock, 9 o'clock, 9 o'clock. Said, this was really freaky. I said, well, let me tell you. So I tell her what happens to us. Well, to me. So, and then she said, yeah, and what about that train whistle? And I said, I didn't hear a train whistle, Lisa. And my brother says, Lisa, there is not a train track within miles of this place. I don't know what you guys are thinking. So later, as we go home and we complete our travels, get home, go online, do a little bit of research. So it turns out where we had been staying was a Confederate hospital during the Civil War. And if you Google Hotel Provincial, you will find a whole page worth of things, including the most haunted hotel in New Orleans, by some accounts. If you look at the website, and I don't work for these people, but if you look at the website Haunted Tours America, it is number one. And if you want a haunted experience, you are to stay in Building 500. So there we are. I'm not a believer. However, that's my story.
Bravo.
I know we've spoken about this before, but have you ever been haunted?
No.
Yeah. I think I have. I think I've had a weird recent experience.
Do tell.
Well, I think that a couple of years ago, at your encouraging and another friend's encouraging, I started to go to yoga, to hot yoga, which is very off-brand for me and continues to just be this like perplexing thing that is in my life because I'm not a big exercise. I mean, I guess I am now. I didn't consider myself to be someone that was big into exercise. My brother died and my mother died in this kind of span of time that I started taking yoga. And I really feel a weird, strange presence with my brother when I'm in that fucking like
hot room,
like basic yoga room with all these 20 something women in their
Lululemon,
their extensions. Everything's extended, their eyelashes, their hair, you know, their bones. At the same time, it's just like this cognitive dissonance where I'm like, I feel my brother's presence. I really do. And I guess I could make the joke that he's there just to peep at all the beautiful women. But I don't know. It's fucking weird. And it happens consistently.
I think that sometimes the heat and the movement, like it puts you in an altered state.
Yeah.
There is an altered state factor. So I wonder if that might be it. But that's so nice.
It is nice. It actually is like... It's a reason I keep coming. So anyway, That was our spooky.
So if it's like a class where it's mostly like middle-aged women, like me, he probably wouldn't show up there, right?
No, he has actually. Oh, and okay. Like a couple of classes where I was like, yeah, there's no way he's making. But he was never really that guy. He was always just, he was definitely on his own wavelength. So I don't even know if he registered like people's appearance. He definitely had autism.
That's another story. And hopefully Jessica will tell it sometime. For now, we want to thank you for listening and direct you to our website, stoopstorytelling.com. There you can find stories from our archive, share them, and you can get tickets for our upcoming show, Creating Art, Creating Change, Art as a Tool for Healing Communities. That's at the American Visionary Art Museum on November 14th, 2024. Thank you to Maureen Harvey for producing our show, as always, and we will be back soon with more stories from the Stoop.
Support comes from Catholic Charities. Driven by the message of love your neighbor, Catholic Charities is focused on improving lives in Maryland. Give the gift of love during this holiday season and learn more at cc-md.org/love.